Well, good morning. Wasn't that kind of neat with the leaders? Is it help to kind of get to know? And then if you forget, over on the wall, just on the other side of the coffee bar, are there pictures? And also we have that one sheet out. We'll get that sheet to you so that you kind of know who's who and what they're doing. Now, this week, I thought a lot about Bob's sermon, Pastor Bob, last week, and Amy Dunlap's testimony. If you were here, and her unique 100 Days of Beauty. And Bob and I talked for quite a while on the phone, and Bob talked about Colby's try. You remember that? And how women are wanting to work at beauty and wear makeup and do all these things and other means to find value in their life. And so we're pressured by our society to do that. But in the process, women, and I don't want to diminish it at all. You had your week last week in terms of hearing that. I'm just kidding around. But you know what I'm saying. But here's the thing. Every one of us, it isn't just women. Every one of us are trying to find value some way outside of God, maybe not meaning to, that will help us with help us understand our value and who we are as an image. And men suffer their own plight. I mean, when you stop to think about it, I mean, look at these pictures here. I just put men on the internet in images in this, what come up, okay? We have demands for good looks, for handsome or distinguished or a great build, right, guys? Okay, all two of you, okay. And successful in business. We can't be failures, can we? We've got to be successful. We've got to be able to show that. And in life, in all the toys that we're supposed to have, and we look at all that, and our garages are full, and I look at all that, and we men just don't pull it off. In fact, we don't even pull off the fake eyelashes, right? Like we were looking last week. But we do promote ourselves to create an image that we too absolutely cannot live up to. Amen? Amen, amen, men? Yeah. Okay, and so we're hoping somehow, some way, to create value and to create an image that looks really good on the outside and for work. I mean, otherwise you're not promoted. If you talk about your weaknesses, you're going to get shot down in the business, right? And so all because I think we as human beings total are insecure with who we are. We're in an insecure world that doesn't really know what they're doing. Beauty and looks and slim figures and great muscles and being desirable and successful. We look at all that to try to define who we think we are and we aren't. And Bob talked about the God-shaped hole that exists in our heart. And of course, that phrase isn't in the Bible. We've made that phrase up because he's saying this God-shaped hole helps us understand that there is a hunger for God that nothing else can fulfill. And so I really wanted to take a few minutes today to talk about that because here's the thing. This is going to be part two of what Bob preached last week. Because Bob got his idea out, but he didn't get to the scripture much because it took all that 30 minutes or 25 minutes or whatever. So we're going to go through that today. So I, instead of looking outside, let me just read a couple verses to you. Psalms 42, 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Ever feel that in your heart? Acts 17, 26 through 28. And he has made from one blood, every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. Now, this is Paul talking to a king, so that they should seek the Lord. And we see that, don't we? It doesn't matter if you're Christian or whatever you are. Everybody is kind of spiritually oriented and has that in them. And so Paul's exactly right. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope. I love that word. They might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. And if there was a word across the Greek, he would probably would have said, and have our value, right? Excuse me, Psalms 107, verse 8. I love this one. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now listen to this. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Now, isn't that a God-shaped hole that he fills? And because nothing else satisfies like loving God and reading his word and getting to know him, and he gives us value and he gives us a great, I hate to say self-image because it's too selfish, a God image. He gives us a God image because otherwise we rely on our own thoughts and it results in this empty hole in our hearts. And this is what happens when people get to the place that hole's so empty that they quit believing in God. And this is out of Romans chapter 1. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So what is it that we can be satisfied with? And understanding that we're human, we're going to keep trying to reach out away from God quite often to find our value and to find out and try to help build who we are. Do you realize that? Just look at TV. I watched a Star Trek movie last night. I didn't see one skinny guy on there, right? And I didn't see a girl with no makeup. They all look pristine, and they all knew martial arts, and they all had all the stuff together. And that's what we're sold at. So what is it that you and I can be satisfied with? Because we aren't that, are we? Amen? Okay. And because Bob didn't time, he wasn't allowed the time to discuss what God says, I want to talk about our value and worth, our God image today. So here's part two. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Where we're going to look at God's idea of value, how he values us so that we can fill that God-shaped hole in our heart with the value that God gives us. And I know it's not exercise because the Bible says exercise profits little. I know it's not beauty because the Bible says charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. So God, in essence, is saying, let me tell you who you really are. Let me give you value. And I know many of you weren't here when we went through the Ephesians or the beginning of this study of in Ephesians. So I want to just go right back. We're detouring from our study from Ephesians 4, and we're going back to Ephesians 1, and we're going to look at this today. All right. Are you ready? Okay, I'm telling you, people, I can't express to you how important this is. All right, let's just go to the next slide. All right, blessed, and when Paul uses that, it's to declare glory or holiness, to bring joy or happiness. So happy is God. Do you ever think of the and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you ever think of God as being happy, or do you think of him as kind of ticked off and bummed because of our sin and all that kind of thing? Well, listen, folks, happy is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was number one, blessed us, given us the joy with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every blessing that can be given, he's given to us. And I think he knows every blessing. Amen? And he's given it to us. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that number two, we should be holy. So we've already been made holy. And then in a practical life, we want to become holy, but we've already been made holy before him. And that we should be holy. And number three, without blame, no more blame for our sin. Okay? No more guilt. Boy, that's hard to pull that in and go, okay, that's my image, huh? Before him. in love, having predestinated us, number four, to adoption. He has adopted us into his family as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us, number five, accepted in the beloved. Now, as you sit here today and you look at this, and you may be new, you may have been coming for 22 years, here's the thing. You're acceptable as you are. You're acceptable as you are because you're utterly holy and blameless. You're adopted into his family. And so you're acceptable. Now, that's probably the hardest one we all have a hard time with. Amen? That's a tough one, that we're okay. Yes, he wants us to grow. I'm not trying to stop there. He wants us to grow and feed on him and that kind of thing. But you are, you know, when the world says you're okay the way you are, they have nothing to base that on. But when, as Christians, we are okay the way we are. Man, I love that. All right. Next verse, 7. In him we have, thank you, stay on 5. Having predestinated, no, I already did that, didn't I? Okay, go to the next slide. All right. Good, there we go. It takes a while for that computer to actually answer up. In him we have number 6, redemption. We've been restored through his blood. The 7, forgiveness or pardon of our sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to, number 8, abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. And it means understanding, but having wisdom attached to it. Because you could have understanding without wisdom, and it does you no good, right? So this is understanding with wisdom attached. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, this era of the fullness of times, number 9, he might gather together in one all in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. He's going to gather us together to him. In him also we have, number 10, obtained an inheritance. Man, it was already pretty good, but now we get an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things, or the all, if you were in the study, meaning all the body of Christ according to the counsel of his will. Number 12. That we who first trusted in Christ, number 11, promise, should be to the praise of his glory. We will be to the praise of his glory. We will be, a lot of pastors say, trophies. That we will be his trophies. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your, number 12, promise, salvation. In whom also, having believed, you were, number 13, sealed with the, you were sealed, and number 14, with the Holy Spirit of promise. Who is, number 15, the guarantee, the down payment of our inheritance until the number 16, redemption of our purchased possession, which if you do a study, you'll find out is our bodies, to the praise of his glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, promise number 17, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ in him. Verse 18 and number 18, the promise, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. And we are, that once we become a Christian, the Bible is full of stuff where all of a sudden the whole world opens up to us in the spiritual understanding, that you may know what is, number 19, the hope of his calling, that is, that he will die for our sin and rise again because of it. And what are, and I want you to hear this one today, number 20, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. In other words, he wants you and I as badly as we want him. And really probably more. You know, I mean, stop and think about it. Here he is. He has the kingdom of God. And he's the king. And he's sitting on the throne. But he has no people. Wouldn't that be weird? Or he takes all of his people and throws them in hell. What good is that? He has no kingdom. And so he wants you just like we want him. Number 21. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us, that he gives power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over the all to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who, promise 22, fills us up. Fills us up with every blessing. Chapter 2. And promise 23, you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of obedience, of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath or anger, just as others. Shows that people that don't know Christ are full of anger. Isn't that interesting? And we see it. Verse 4. This is huge. But God, who is rich in mercy, because promise 24, and this is probably the greatest promise, his great love with which he loved us. His great love with which he loved us. Promise 25, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. And 26, promise, raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, promise 27, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. Verse 8, and promise number 28, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And promise 29, it's not of yourselves. It's, promise 30, a gift of God, not of works. Back to 29, lest anyone should boast. Verse 10. Promise 31, for we are his workmanship, his craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before him that we should walk in them. Okay, now does that sound like some reasonable promises? I'm going to stop there. We can go on and on and on, but there, just in those two chapters, in chapter and then just only the first 10 of chapter 2, he's given us 31 promises. Now, let me go over. I put them all up there, okay? I need you to see them with your eyes, because the problem is, as soon as I get done reading, and it's going to go right back out of your head, and you're going to start thinking about makeup, and you're going to start thinking about muscle and good looks and that kind of thing, and you got to get that stuff back in your head, okay? Because it's the natural thing for us to let go of it, okay? Number one, he's given us every special blessing in heaven, in the heaven. Number two, he's made us holy. Number three, he's not blamed us for our sin. Number four, he's adopted us into his family. Number five, he's accepted us as we are. Number six, he's restored us. Number seven, he's pardoned our sin. Number eight, he's given us wisdom and understanding. Number nine, he's gathering us together in Christ. Number 10, he's given us an inheritance. Number 11, he's made us to the praise of his glory. Number 12, he's given us salvation. Number 13, he's sealed that salvation with the Holy Spirit. Number 14, that Holy Spirit is our promise to the day of redemption, it says in 4:30, Ephesians 4:30. 15, the Holy Spirit is our guarantee, our down payment. 16, he purchased our bodies. 17, he gave us wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. 18, our understanding is being enlightened. 19, We know his calling. He's our king. 20. We are his inheritance. His inheritance are us. He's not inheriting trucks and cars. It's us, folks. His great power is used towards us. Same power that raised Christ up out of the dead. 22, he fills us. 23, he made us alive. 24, he loved us with his great love. 25, he made us alive together in Christ. 26, he raised us together and seated us in Christ. 27, he demonstrated the riches of his grace and kindness. 28, his salvation is by through grace and faith. 29, salvation has nothing to do with performance. 30, salvation is a gift, a free gift. 31, we are his craftsmanship, created for good works. 32, he's given us big muscles. 33, he's given us fake eyelashes. What are you laughing for? Oh, that's not in the scripture, is it? Okay. That's fading beauty, folks. But we have a God who loves us, not with love, but a great love. A great love. And there are many other promises. I want to just close with this one from Colossians. Somebody sang a song one time, and I memorized it, so I always have a hard time reading it, because when I read it, the jingle starts going in my head, and it's the old King James rather than new. But it says, if then you were raised with Christ, and were you? Yeah, if you read the scripture, you find out that you died with him, you were buried with him, and you were raised with him. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Where is he? Sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life, it says, is hidden, but it really means has been hidden from the time of belief and is still hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden. Man, I love those words. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen. Are you ready for that? Do we have value in God? Did it sound like those promises gave us value? Yeah. I mean, what better value could we have than that? I mean, when I was teasing you about the eyelashes and the muscles, doesn't it sound stupid compared to what we just read? It sounds so foolish, and yet we get caught up in all that kind of stuff, and we think this is going to be our image, and this is going to give us value, and it never, never does. So here's the real question. We've talked about this before, and we've read this before, and we studied through it, and people will tell me, well, you know, I know all that stuff, but it really doesn't help me. You know why? Because you don't believe it. Because if you believed it, it would help. I mean, it just, the fact that we're accepted and we're loved with a great love, that would be enough promises right there. If we truly believe him fully, we don't all need any of the world stuff. What did Colossians say? Look up. Look up. Quit looking down and around. Look up. His great love with which he loved us. So what is your image this morning? What is your value? Is it what we just read and what God thinks of you? Or are you still performing for the world's value in which you can't live up to? It causes panic attacks and all kinds of things, right? Father, we just come this morning. Thank you for all those promises. Lord, you have promises all through your scripture, but just in that first chapter and second chapter, what an unbelievable thing. 31, I counted, and you could even count a couple more. 31 promises you've given to us, and every bit of it comes down to our life is hidden in Christ with God, with you. And so, Lord, we just come this morning and we repent of our foolishness and our silliness of trying to match the world around us that just doesn't work. And Lord, I think for the most part, we come here in essence kind of naked and in front of you, wanting to learn and grow and become what you want us to be. And Lord, just as Christ said when he was in the garden, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Lord, will you help? Give us that power that raised up Jesus from the dead to believe these promises and act on them. While our heads are bowed, you may come this morning and you may be looking for a relationship with Christ. And let me just explain a few things to you. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and the wages of that sin is death. But it goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9, it tells us exactly what we need to do. And that is, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if I'm talking to you this morning and you are in that place where you feel like you're ready to give your life to Christ and surrender it, I'm going to pray a little prayer, nothing magical about the prayer, just to kind of help you along to get you started here. And the prayer goes like this: Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord of my life. I believed you rose from the dead, just like that verse said, and because of that, I know that you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today, and may I live for you. Our heads are bowed. If you prayed that prayer with me this morning, just raise your hand up, put it back down, let God know you meant business. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Father, we are so thrilled that people will raise their hand and give their life to you. And I pray that you help them to energize them to come see us and talk to us and begin to grow and begin to read their Bibles and maybe get connected with some Bible studies and those type of things so that they can grow in Christ. Because, Lord, that's all we have is your Son, Jesus Christ. This world doesn't deliver. It never will deliver in the state it's in. Only you deliver, and you blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly. So, Lord, we honor you this morning. Thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.